Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor. She is joined by her co-host Jessica and producer Mike Clark. They will inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better.
Feels so good to be back in the studio.
Doesn't it?
It does.
Yes.
I have to tell you right away, though, Mike, that this article we're going to be referring to uses a word that I don't really like, and I'm not in any way putting that on you.
I can't wait to hear it.
Uh-oh.
So this was on Natural News. Mike Bundrant wrote an article called The Cycle of Stupid, How It Is Destroying Humanity and You.
So you don't like the word stupid then?
No, it just doesn't sound very nice.
Yeah, it doesn't actually.
I would never call you
stupid. How about unintelligent?
Right.
Okay.
With stupid. That it just sounds like stupid. Yeah. So I'm going to read the first paragraph so we get a sense of what this guy is going for, because this is a really interesting article. I think there's a lot to talk about with this. He says, day in and day out, the inhabitants of lonely planet Earth kill, maim, conspire, steal, abuse, violate, destroy, poison, fight, and, well, hurt each other's feelings. It is a wonder that we, a socially constrained pack of wild animals, survive. We may not survive in the long run. Some cold-minded scientists suggest the Earth's population will be extinct in 1,000 years and claim to have evidence to support it. All this is due to what my wife recently called the cycle of stupid.
I think this guy watches too much news. He's terrified.
He must be in a bad mood all the time.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay, but this is interesting then. Here's how the cycle of stupid works, according to Mike Bundrant. Caught in the throes of the cycle, people willingly invite into their lives things they hate, then proceed to get offended. All the while, these otherwise intelligent people have perfect proof of their own innocence and can easily justify wrongdoing to others who are the obvious problem. So he gives an example of this. Okay, so here's the basic cycle of stupid. And this would apply to couples or parents, families, coworkers, and normal people who get hit with regular fits of stupidity. And actually, after I read this, I'm like, oh yeah, I can totally be stupid sometimes.
We all can.
So he gave an example of screaming children are scolded by screaming parents. Right? So a screaming child.
That doesn't make them calm down any.
Right. They react to their screaming parent by screaming more, which inspires the screaming parent to scream louder, which inspires the children to scream, cry, and hit each other. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah,
I guess.
And I've seen this cycle. I'm sure I've been in this cycle in the past. And you watch it as an outsider and you're like, wow, if you would just stop screaming at your children, maybe they'd stop screaming at you. Right?
Right.
Or any relationship for that matter.
True.
He gives another example, and this is just pretty funny. A mid-level manager catches poop from his boss because his boss caught poop from his boss. So the mid-level manager throws poop on his employees who go home and throw poop on their families who then kick the family dog who proceeds to poop on the rug.
Okay, they're not really throwing poop at each other though, right?
I hope not.
Okay.
Well, one thing I have to say is so far we've had the words stupid, hate, and poop in this article, which I really don't like those words. But let's talk about this concept, because the concept is what is intriguing to me.
Well, people invite problems into their life, I think. Is that what you're saying, basically?
Right. It's almost like the negative person complaining that their world is negative.
Right. It's like the food in this restaurant is so awful in such small portions.
It's all about perception.
Right.
It is. So it's becoming a cycle of where you expect something different, but you're complaining about the same thing, or you're passing down the same concept. But then he takes it a step further and he talks about, let's analyze this. So he said, well, each of the above individuals, except the dog, could have stopped the cycle of stupid at any time, in theory, by pausing for a moment and asking some questions.
Sounds like they're blaming it on the dog.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to walk away.
Never the dog. Well, that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
So the question is, well, what's really going on here, really? You know, so someone's acting negative towards you or antagonistic towards you. Instead of just reacting to the surface emotion, asking yourself, okay, what's really going on here? Or do I really want to participate in this cycle?
Right.
Or what's the right thing to do as a person? You know, are these people upon whom I'm about to poop really less than I am? Would I want to be pooped on like I'm about to poop on others? Does my being pooped on really justify what I'm about to do?
You're really using that word a lot.
Well, I'm reading the article. It's not me. how must this other person be feeling? So, you know, you have a moment with, say, a customer, or you're in a restaurant with, say, a waiter. It's so easy. As soon as someone comes at you, there's this instinct to just come back at them.
Mm. Well, not me. I avoid confrontation at all costs. I really do. You know what I mean? It's because it doesn't accomplish anything.
Well, even if you don't, say, lash out at someone, you might internalize and say, oh, what did I do? Or be down on yourself, where oftentimes it's nothing about you. The
true.
Person just needs...
Some people just like drama, like though, a hug. I think.
Well, that's true.
I need a hug.
Well, and the article goes on to talk about how it's so much easier to blame others and mistreat them using their bad behavior as a justification.
Right.
Well, they did this to me, so I... Right?
That's just a victim mentality.
Yeah. And even though your life would be easier, you know, even though you'd have more inner peace, even though you would enjoy astounding personal maturity and remain above the fray, he says, you don't make that effort very often. So why don't we? That's the question. How do we get caught in it? This is where it gets really interesting. He goes on to talk about the advanced cycle of stupid. Now, this is for corporate and political leaders whose stupidity advances into conspiracy.
Mm.
Okay, you ready?
So they're really good at being stupid.
I guess so.
Yeah.
You know, this, but seriously, this is what's happening in our world right here. Like we have tapped into something. Okay, so they give the example. A politician obviously lies to voters, telling them all that he will do for them, the money and entitlements that will flow their way if they only vote for him. He wins and promptly does nothing he promised. Voters, blinded by their own greed for someone to pass on entitlements to them, choose to believe the lie and hold out hope that they will get something for nothing.
Right.
And then I like this example. A food conglomerate conspires with Congress and the FDA, uses pseudoscience, and knowingly introduces into the food supply a friendly-sounding and convenient yet poisonous food that destroys the health of consumers and makes the conglomerate billions of dollars. Millions of not totally ignorant consumers willingly ingest this toxin because they are too lazy, cheap, and self-indulgent to give up an ounce of convenience or go out of their way to find safer food to eat.
Unless they listen to this show, then they know not to eat that stuff.
Cheez-Its.
Oh. Hey, I haven't had any Cheez-Its for like a month or two or maybe even three.
Get out.
I'm serious.
Why is that?
I don't know, but I'm really craving them.
Oh, great.
I forgot about them until you mentioned them. Thanks.
So the author talks about at this level, the cycle begins to tilt with the majority of the wrongdoing perpetuated by those in power. So the folks could be stopped if only the masses were willing to wake up. The masses, however, are more comfortable living in the stupid shadow of stupid leaders than breaking free and figuring things out for themselves.
I feel like the masses are starting to wake up.
Yes, and that actually is what the next article talks about, because I agree with you. So you know what? I've decided that we're putting this one aside because I believe...
You're going to stop mid-article?
Yes, because... That's an interesting opinion. And here's another side of the same idea. This article was in a website called preventdisease.com, and it was written by Marco Torres, who is a research specialist, writer, and consumer advocate for healthy lifestyles. He holds degrees in public health and environmental science and is a professional speaker on topics such as disease prevention, environmental toxins, and health policy.
So he's not stupid.
Yeah, and he writes very intelligently, and I'm finding his theories quite interesting here. And they're actually quite based in science. So when we get back from break, we're going to talk about an article titled, There is a Tipping Point for the Spread of Ideas, and It Has Finally Arrived.
You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living, for the health of it. Your host is Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. For more information about Dr. Jennifer or this podcast, check out spinalcorrectivecenter.com. If you would like to schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jennifer, call 603-673-5600 and mention this podcast to receive a special offer. That's 603-673-5600. To find a wellness chiropractor in your area, go to chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now, back to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
Back from break, and we are figuring out if we're really caught in a cycle of stupid or if we're at the tipping point for the spread of new ideas. So we're moving on to a second article that we just referred to by author Marco Torres that was on preventdisease.com. And this author states that there is a tipping point where a percentage of the population who holds a minority opinion yet unshakable belief becomes adopted by the majority. So that point's 10% of the population. And he's saying that it's actually arrived.
So and there is hope.
There is hope because he says we're about to witness an unbelievable diffusion and growth of truthful information that is spreading like wildfire.
I can feel that. I don't know if it's just the people I know, like you guys. So you guys are always looking to change the bad things, you know? So hopefully that's spreading.
Yeah. Right. And he says it's about time, isn't it?
Right. Absolutely. You know?
It goes on, those of us who have been involved in aspiring to help disseminate the truth are welcoming the change. We've been asleep for a very long time and the tables have now turned. The entire planet has established a tipping point and the emotional tension level plateau has been reached. What you will now see is a massive polarity climax due to the most destructive forces on the planet meeting their demise at the hands of those who are awakening in droves.
Wow, that sounds
epic. Amen. Now, he refers to Malcolm Gladwell. You guys probably have read the book, The Tipping Point. And this whole concept of that moment of critical mass, that threshold, it actually has been confirmed. This theoretical model has been confirmed by the scientists at the Social Cognitive Network's Academic Research Center at Rensselaer. So they actually use computational and analytical methods to discover the tipping point where that minority belief will become a majority opinion. And it's very interesting because, you know, this finding now has incredible implications for the study and influence of societal interactions ranging from the spread of innovations to the movement of political ideals. He talks about it. So
we can think that's because of our technology. I mean, I'm always on YouTube looking at different videos about health and or anything I'm interested in, you know? So people have access to more information, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's why everything is happening so quickly.
So if they're guided in the right direction, you know?
Because what they're saying with this theory is if there's less than 10% of an opinion, there's no visible progress for the spread of new ideas. But once you reach that critical mass...
That's a tipping point.
Then it's a tipping point. And you think about, you know, even... the agents of change, like Facebook, someone can post an article that was printed somewhere and it can go viral.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And then the
I'm always looking for interesting things like that, you know, which you post all the time.
And then there's also dialogue.
Right.
There's dialogue and people can start to debate and that's where opinions can really start to be formed. He says this can be seen filtering throughout the entire internet on all levels and subject areas from government to politics, health, freedom, corruption, religion, the entire universe, and almost every controversial area of debate. There's no longer conspiracies if everyone now believes them as fact.
Right.
Isn't that interesting? Because before it was always these conspiracy experts, but the news would only broadcast what they wanted people to hear.
Right.
You know, and now anybody can grab a flip phone or they can grab a handheld device and create a movement. And create a movement.
Right.
They can just put an opinion up and they can print an article and it's amazing. Well, and these whole agents of change on, you know, social media, they're convincing more and more people because they can go viral. It's amazing how quickly something can spread.
I mean, you still have to be careful. You can't believe everything you see and read, though, you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
But if you think about what you see often, because, you know, it's one thing just to see one random article on something, but then, you know, if depending on what types of groups you belong to on Facebook and what types of friends you have, you know, for me, every single day I see people post articles or research on vaccination.
Right.
You know, and he even talks about that here in this article. He says this whole movement is particularly true when it comes to things like vaccinations. He said the belief in the effectiveness of vaccinations is quickly becoming the minority, and experts in alternative medicine are now suggesting that we could see the end of vaccines in less than a decade.
Yeah, we've done quite a few shows on that, so...
Well, a lot of other tipping points will have to happen in order for that to take place.
True.
But there's, if you say there's only, say it just went over 10%, the momentum is much quicker.
Right.
Yes.
You know? This also goes on to say that those who have greatly influenced and controlled information have now created a double-edged sword when it comes to the internet.
Well, you know, the government is now monitoring social media through keywords.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And they say it's because they're trying to, you know, look out for terrorism, but...
Well, here's an example in my consumer opinion. From what I could see, for example, a couple years ago, do you remember that there came out some advertisements on television for high fructose corn syrup? And it was like people sitting in the park eating popsicles, and it was talking about how high fructose corn syrup is natural.
Yes.
And they were probably beautiful.
And there were beautiful people and beautiful butterflies going on. But then it seemed like, and there was also articles, I should say, placed in doctor's offices. I had a few patients bring me in these brochures, like these nice big brochures that was in their doctor's office talking about how safe and healthy high fructose corn syrup is. Well, what happened was people called it out. They're like, this is just not true. Yeah, and
it's propaganda.
The backlash on Facebook, people were making fun of it. They were outraged. They couldn't believe it. And as far as I can tell, the commercial stopped. And then the next thing you know is the corn industry decides to rename
high
fructose corn syrup to corn sugar because they said, oh, that didn't work.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. So that's a great example of that.
There was,
it really is.
And that shows that the consumers have a voice.
Yeah.
Well, some of the other topics that I see often that seem that there's a tipping point is you see more and more backlash to people receiving just automatic medication to treat mild depression. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see articles all the time about how the medication, the side effects and what it can do. I see a lot on Facebook in particular about how the medical model is more sick care than health care and how we need to take control of our health to really be healthy, and we really need to use the medical system more.
I wonder where I've heard that before.
I know, but you see it.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of people that are realizing, I don't want to be medicated. You know, what are my other options?
Right.
And, you know, there are so many other options, natural things that people used to do all the time on a regular basis, but with technology, people have become...
You can find out that information.
Yes. Well, no, with technology, people have become sedentary.
Yeah.
And, you know, things have changed in the world that can promote depression and anxiety.
Well, I think people are just sick of being sick and they want more answers. So the more they have a forum for dialogue about, well, what can I do? More and more people who are finding solutions, like chiropractic care, for example, are speaking up and saying, hey, this is an idea. This can help for
wellness. I'm glad you turned this conversation around, Jenny. I was ready to jump off a bridge after the first half.
Yeah, I built that up, didn't I?
Yeah, thank you.
So for me, the takeaway here is it's up to each of us whether we want to stay in these cycles, whether we call them stupid or not, but these cycles where we keep doing the same thing in a reactionary way that don't get results versus jumping on the bandwagon of evolvement in the way we think and the way we act. It's out there. It's easier to grasp than ever before. You can latch on to people and ideas that are places you want to go. I want to think that way. I want to function and look that way. I want to do it better. I want to live healthier. It's easier than ever to start to make choices and alliances that will help you do that.
Amen, right. Sister.
And you can start with listening to this podcast.
That's
true. When you're driving and sharing it. Because that's what it's about, just raw talk about full potential living.
And if you are surfing Facebook and looking for some information on healthy living, search Spinal Corrective Center and press the like button.
Be well, everybody.
You've been listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. For more information, go to SpinalCorrectiveCenter.com or call Dr. Jennifer at 603-673-5600. That's SpinalCorrectiveCenter.com or call 603-673-5600.